We are back. Yeah, sorry about the little bit of a delay there. Yeah, yeah, fixing hair, you know, all that good stuff. In any event, that's Nick Charlebois. I'm Christopher Harrison. This is SharePoint Office 365 Development Online Labs. And at the moment, we're making sure that Nick is actually mic'd. We are just going to apparently fall apart this morning. But now that Nick is mic'd, Nick is actually going to be driving, yay, this whole thing. Nick is actually going to take us through the next three modules, talking about how to do Office 365 apps.
SharePoint apps, actually.
SharePoint apps. So I'm going to have at it then.
Perfect.
I'm going to stop talking.
Yeah. So in this chapter, what we're going to learn is how we can actually build SharePoint apps that are going to be hosted outside of Office 365 and that can communicate back with our SharePoint Online resources. So we're going to look at giving you an introduction as to what the apps for SharePoint are, and then we're going to dive into the app permissions, explain to you how apps are actually acquiring permissions to these SharePoint resources in order to interact with them. So before we start, just a bit of background information here. So when SharePoint 2013 was introduced back in 2013, it introduced a new development model, which I consider to be the fourth development model that was introduced for SharePoint. If you guys remember, if you were around when SharePoint 2007 and the earlier versions were there, there was only really one way for us to extend the SharePoint platform, and it was to build what we call full trust code solutions. Those were server-side components that we were writing, that we were compiling as a WSP file, sending over on the server and deploying to the SharePoint server. When 2010 came around, a second model was introduced called the sandbox solution, which allowed people to still build server-side components, but they were deployed at the site collection level. So they were deployed in the solution gallery, activated there, and they could only interact with resources that were inside of the site collection. Right, so when Office 365 was first released in, I'd say around June 2011, if my memory is good, that was really the only way to modify your tenant or to extend it. Before that, the BPOS version, as I made a joke earlier, but BPOS was the online version of SharePoint 2007, and it was extremely limited as to what you could actually do with the version in order to extend it in the cloud. Of course, you had dedicated instances where you could go and install your solution, but that was really limited. Sandbox solution gave us that flexibility. Along with the sandbox solution with SharePoint 2010 came the client-side object model that allowed us to write applications that were outside of SharePoint, that were running, let's say, in a Windows application, and that were communicating back with our SharePoint server and interacting with resources. Then when 2013 came around, Microsoft introduced what we call the app model. So the app model, when it first was released, really came into in three flavors. You had the SharePoint hosted apps, which we're going to talk about shortly here. There used to be the auto hosted app, which has been deprecated since, and the provider hosted apps. So let's just have a look at different types of apps you can have for SharePoint. So the SharePoint hosted apps are basically going to be made of HTML and JavaScript. And as the name is says, they're going to be hosted directly in SharePoint. So when you create your app and you deploy it, all the components you've created inside of Visual Studio are going to be pushed into a special container that we call the app web. So the app web is on a separate domain than your main site, and all the resources are going to be contained within it. Right. Mm-hmm. For provider-hosted apps, you're actually hosting your app outside of SharePoint, which means it can be running on your own infrastructure, or it could be running on Azure websites, or as it was announced this morning, the Azure App Service, right? So it's hosted outside. So yeah, as you see, we're following, we're up to date there. And then it can use a variety of different web technologies. So for example, you can have your application coded as PHP. It could be JavaScript hosted elsewhere. We'll see it with the when comes the time to discuss the cross-domain library, but it can use a variety of different web technologies.
And so regardless of which one of those, it's always gonna be running outside of SharePoint.
It will, exactly. It might have some components that will be deployed just like the SharePoint hosted app inside of SharePoint that will be in a separate app web, but most of the time it will be totally hosted outside of SharePoint.
Okay, perfect. All right.
And in order for you to be able to have your provider hosted app communicate back with your SharePoint site, what you need is either to use OAuth as the authentication mechanism or use the cross-domain library. So those two aspects we're going to be covering later on in Chapter 3 and Chapter 4. So quickly, let's have a look at the architecture of a SharePoint hosted app. So as I just explained, there's really two main parts to the SharePoint hosted app. There's the app web on the right, which I just explained, is where your application is going to be deployed, all the components. If you have lists, if you have custom scripts, content types, they're all going to be deployed to that separate app web. They're going to be deployed in a separate domain. So for example, if your main site is contoso.sharepoint.com, your app web might be at contoso-guid, so a unique identifier.sharepoint.com. And this is actually how Office 365 creates those domains. So it uses the domain name, appends a uniquely generated ID beside it, and just adds the rest of the domain name. So on the left-hand side, what we have is the host web. The host web really is the main SharePoint site, which we're all used to. So in a typical scenario, when users would want to go and access your SharePoint hosted app, they will connect to the main SharePoint site, so go contoso.sharepoint.com. Then either through a link or by going in the view all site content, they'll see the tile where your app has been installed. They'll click on it and they'll get redirected to your app web. And this will bring them to a fully immersive experience where they will still have the impression that they are inside of your SharePoint site, but really they'll be running, they'll be accessing a separate domain there. The other option that you have is to use what we call app parts. So from the host web, what you can do is, since SharePoint 2013 has been introduced, when you edit a page and you go in the insert ribbon, you now have another option other than web parts. There's something new called app parts, right? We're all familiar with web parts. Those are server-side components that are installed, are deployed, that you can use, drag and drop on your pages to build immersive experience. But the app part is something new that was introduced with 2013 to allow users to deploy some of their apps as if they were just part of their host web. For example, let's say you're building an app that's a weather widget. All it does is it takes your current location, displays an icon of what the weather is like and the temperature. So that's your app. So really, you may want your users to go to view all site content, click on that that tile, and then come up with that icon, and that would be the only thing they would get on the page. But wouldn't it be cool if what you could do is actually just have a little, just like a web part, have it dropped on your page with content around it and just display that little weather icon. So this is where the app part comes into play. So when you drop an app part on your page, all you're doing is creating an iframe that's going to sit on the page there, and then the app web content is going to be loaded inside of that app part. Right, so you missed my animation there. There you go.
High-end animation there. Pixar has nothing on you.
Yeah, that's my PowerPoint skills at their best. So now let's dig into what the provider-hosted app architecture looks like. And the rest of the session today for the SharePoint apps at least, is going to be focusing on that provider-hosted app model there. So on the right-hand side at the bottom, we see that we still have the same components that we had for the SharePoint-hosted apps. And you guys can probably tell, right, that I'm Canadian, so you hear those hey at the end of every sentence, right? So I apologize in advance. So, and then what we see in there is we still have the app web and the host web. However, there's a note beside the app web, and if we look closely, it says that the app web is optional, and it is. In the context of provider-hosted apps, you don't have to have an app web. For SharePoint-hosted apps, you definitely need to have one because this is where all of your logic is going to be executed. But for provider-hosted apps, you may or may not have an app web. If you need to deploy custom lists as part of your solution, for example, then it will automatically go and create an app web and deploy those lists to that container. On the left-hand side, what we see is the remote web. So this is really the third component that's introduced with the provider-hosted app. The remote web is the core of your application. This is where your app runs. It can run, as I explained earlier, on a separate infrastructure, on your own on-premises infrastructure, or it can run in Azure website or newly rebranded Azure App Service. So this basically means that it's not running directly on your SharePoint server. And you can have external data sources such as SQL, Azure, or connect to the data market as well. So now let's dig into, let's have a look at app permissions. So when we're dealing with apps, it's really important that we understand really how the whole authentication and permissions are working. One thing to keep in mind is that the remote web, and remember that diagram that we just seen there, we're always going to go back to it just to explain the concepts. The remote web is the core of your solution. This is where all the logic runs. This remote web always has full rights to the app web, assuming you have an app web. So that means that if your application is running on your Azure website server, it doesn't need to implicitly request access to read resources from your app web. So in your app web, for example, let's say you have a list there that's just a list of contacts, for example. Your remote web's not going to have to implicitly ask to be granted access to read that list. Now, when we're dealing with the host web, however, if we want to access resources that are hosted on the host web, the way SharePoint works is that it's going to use a least privilege approach. So it's going to look at both the app permissions and the user's permissions. So I like to think of this as being kind of an end gate, right? So an end condition, where on one hand of the equation you have, does the user have access to the resource I'm trying to access? And on the other end you have, do my app has the proper access to access that resource as well? Both need to be true in order for SharePoint to grant access to your app to that resource. If one of the two is not true, then access will be denied. There's something else that's really important when we're talking about app permissions is the concept of app-only privileges, right? So app-only permissions. This is a way actually to elevate the privileges of your app. Now, some of you that are familiar with server-side development for SharePoint might think that this is the same thing as going spsecurity.run with elevated privileges, but it's not. spsecurity.run with elevated privilege basically allows you to run delegate method and elevate the permissions as if you were the app pool owner. What we're talking about here is really just to ignore completely the user's permissions. So imagine for a second, on our host web, we have a list called fruits. All it contains is a list of different fruits where there are unit price, for example. We're trying to access an app that will go and read values out of that list and just print them on screen. I'm executing the app as the farm admin, so I have full access, right? So I can access everything on my host web. My app, however, did not implicitly ask to have read permission to that list. So what's going to happen is that when the user launches the app, he's going to get an access denied because in the normal context, remember, we're always looking at both the users and the app permissions to decide whether or not to grant access to the resource. If my app was going and on the other side, if I use app permissions only, my app will request, for example, access to that to read that fruits list. But my user, let's say now I'm logged in as John Smith, he doesn't have access to any resources in the host web, he will still be able to go access my app and execute it because now the app says I need app-only privileges. I'm not going to be looking at what permissions the user has. I'm only going to be using my own permissions. So that's really important. So if you use app-only permissions, it means that you're only looking at what permissions the app has. And then when you trust it, so the administrator, when he goes and installs that app and trusts it, of course, he will need to have all the access that the apps requires in order to install it. So the site collection admin will need to trust that app, and there'll be a message saying, do you trust the app to basically access all the resources? He will trust it, And then whatever user accesses it, no matter what their permissions are, they're going to have access to the resources the app is accessing.
So it behaves a lot like if I installed an app on my phone and it said, hey, we need to access like geolocation. I have to say yes to that, sort of that same concept here.
Exactly.
That when you go to use a SharePoint app, you have to say, yes, I'm going to trust you to access this list data or my calendar or whatever it is that you might want.
Great example. So that's exactly it. So that might be a lot of information just to absorb. We're going to go into technical demos at the end. Don't worry about it. So now the app-only permissions, so as I said, it just considers the app permissions. It totally ignores the user's permissions. The way you go and specify that your app is going to require app-only permissions is through the app manifest. So the app manifest is a file that gets created whenever you create a SharePoint app in Visual Studio. You have the choice of either using the designer view or going in the XML. What we're showing you here is how you would do it using the XML. So you basically just need to go and set a, so you would go and set a little variable here and whoop. Let me just grab my pen here.
Whoop.
So you would just go and say app only policy, set it's true. And that would mean that if I look at the code here, the application is asking write access at the site collection, and it's only going to use the app only permission. So it's not going to look at the user's permission. Now, if we want to go in the code and get that app-only token, we're going to see this more when we deal with OAuth in the second module, or in the third module, the one after this one here. But you need to acquire the proper access token in the code if we want to do an operation as and use the elevated privilege that the app-only permissions allow us to use. We're going to have to go and get that app-only access token. So here's what we're going to do now. We're going to jump into the first task of Lab 1. But before then, when you go and create provider-hosted apps, you have two options, really. You have the option from within Visual Studio, I mean. So you have the options of creating a what I call a classic ASP.NET web form project, or to go and use MVC5. For the first lab, we're going to go and use an MVC5 project. As far as authorization goes, there are really two ways for you to authenticate your apps. When you're dealing with SharePoint hosted apps and Office 365, we're going to be dealing with Azure Access Control Services. So this is what we're going to be calling into to get access for our apps. If you're dealing with on-premises installation, you need to configure your servers to do server-to-server iTrust. However, this is out of the scope for this session here. And then when you go and try to develop for your application, you can go and use either CSUM or REST, or use the JavaScript cross-domain library. When you go in Visual Studio and you create your project, so this is why we answered one of the questions in the first module about would it work with Visual Studio 2012. In Visual Studio 2012, you may not get all the supporting classes that get created when you create your project. So for example, when you create your MVC5 project using Visual Studio 2013, one of the classes you're going to get is the SharePoint Context Provider class, which will deal with all the OAuth operations that you need to take care of in order to communicate back with your SharePoint online resources. So let's jump into it. So now what we're going to do is I'm going to bring up lab number one. So if you guys go on the GitHub project, open module 3. We're doing lab one.
I'm going to put that URL in right now. So,
perfect. Thank you, sir.
Nick is working through this. There we go.
Perfect. So, okay. What we're going to do now is we're going to launch a new instance of Visual Studio, and we're going to go and create a new SharePoint provider hosted app. So, I'm going to go new project. And in here, when you go, so we're going to deal with C# here, but you could do the same thing using Visual Basic. I'm going to go under Office/SharePoint, select Apps, and then I'm going to click Apps for SharePoint. I'm going to give this a name, so Nick's app. I'm going to click OK on that. Then what it's going to do is it's going to go and prompt me, do I want to create a provider-hosted app or a SharePoint-hosted app? Now, if you go and have a look at the labs, it might look a little different, from you, right? So as I mentioned earlier, originally when we launched, well, when SharePoint 2013 was launched, there were really three flavors of SharePoint apps. The auto-hosted apps, which was automatically deploying all your stuff to Azure, has been deprecated. So now when you go in Visual Studio, you're only going to get two options, either provider-hosted or SharePoint-hosted. For our exercise, we're going to go select provider hosted. And in here, I'm going to enter the URL of my dev site. So really important, right? So I have my SharePoint tenant that's accessible at nickchalabois.mvp.sharepoint.com. But I went and created a developer site collection at site/mva. So I need to point Visual Studio to that developer site there. So I do that. Now it's going to ask me, do I want to go and create an ASP.NET web form application or an ASP.NET MVC web app? I'm going to select the latest. Then in here, it's going to ask me, what do I want to use to authenticate my app? As I mentioned, if I was on premises, I would go and use a local certificate there and then just configure iTrust with my servers. For the purpose of this exercise, we're going to go and authenticate against Windows Azure Access Control Service, so I'm just going to leave the default selection there and click Finish. So it's going to ask me to go and connect to my SharePoint Office, my Office 365 tenant, so I'm just going to go.
And while Nicholas is logging on here, one of the things that's worth highlighting is, and this is in particular for any of my old SharePoint developers, and I shouldn't say old, because now we start to get into an age thing, but I guess I mean, you know, the people that are used to doing on-prem with, you know, 2010, with 2007, that the VM that Nick is using here does not have SharePoint installed, that the only thing that he has is just simply Visual Studio. Now, it happens to be Ultimate. Again, this will work just fine with Community. Work just fine with Pro, with Premium. It just happens to be Ultimate, but that's it. And he's actually going to be doing development against Office 365. That a couple of people have asked, well, you know, is what he's talking about only going to work with on-prem? And the answer is no, that this will actually work with both on-prem as well as SharePoint Online, which is part of Office 365.
Definitely. But it's good that you mentioned that I don't have SharePoint installed on here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So one of the, so this is just a side story while this loads, but one of the cool things about it is I do development a lot on my Surface that you see just beside me, right? I mean, so I don't need to get all bits installed and have a high-end machine to do the development anymore because everything is offloaded to the cloud, right?
Yep.
So or is hosted somewhere else. So now I have my project created. So what the lab is going to ask us to do now is go, let me just open this here. And so we are now at step 9. So we've skipped through a couple there. And it's going to ask me to put two breakpoints. So I'm going to put a breakpoint at the line where it says it gets the current SharePoint context, and one where I'm setting the viewbag username property. So let me just go in here. I'll add a breakpoint on line 17 and on line 29 as well. Okay, so this is just a teaser. We're not actually going to execute that code until the next module. But this is basically what task one is asking us to do. So what we've done here is we've created a SharePoint provider-hosted app, and we've connected it with Azure ACS for authentication. So in here, you see that it's created two classes that I've briefly talked about before, so Token Helper and SharePoint Context. Those are really useful classes that are going to be used to actually extract all the tokens from the OAuth protocol. Once we'll see, we'll learn about this once we get to the next chapter. What I want to show you now, though, is when we were talking about the app permissions. So in here, I have another project, which is just like the one we just created. And what I did is I actually went and created some stuff in here. So I created a test list just so that the app web gets created. And if you go in the app manifest, there's a tab in here that says permission. And this is where you would go and implicitly set the permissions your application needs in order to execute properly. So one thing to keep in mind is that this is using what I call a top-down approach, right? So if you need your app to get access to a specific list, just go and select list here, select whatever permission your app needs, read, write, whatever, write. Just one thing to watch out for also includes delete, right? So any CRUD operations. But if, let's say, your app needs to write to more than one list, well, the way to do it is have your app ask to get access at the web level, That way, when your app is granted access at the web level, it implicitly gets access to all of the lists underneath. So in here, what I'll do is I'll just go and select list, and I'll say that my app requires access to write to that list. I'm going to save this. And you see here the little checkbox on the top that says allow the app to make app-only calls to SharePoint. This is what I would do if I want to get the app-only permissions for the app. I would just simply activate this checkbox here. But for the purpose of the demo, let's just not do it. I'm going to go deploy that to Office 365. And then we'll see what the app is asking us. So before I can go and actually trust the app, so I'm just going to have to authenticate here.
Type faster, type faster.
I'm trying my best, trying my best. Right, so what we'll see is once we go to that, do you trust that app or no? Oh, and there's an error. So, yeah, okay, we'll try that again. It's just not liking it.
Did you maybe already deploy this at once
before? I think I did this morning, actually, yeah. So for a different one. So I'm just going to grab the exact same one that we did here. Okay, so let's grab this one here instead. It's a little bit the joy of doing this live, right? So this is the app we just created for the lab. I'm going to do the exact same thing. I'm going to go with list permission write. So I know for a fact this one was never deployed. So we'll go, we will upload my app. And then what I'm hoping to be able to show you guys is the screen where it asks if I want to trust the app or no, or not. What it's going to give me, since I've specified I want to have my app get write access to the list, is going to ask me to select what list does my app need access to. Right? So in here, there you go. So we add it. And I'm just going to maximize this here. So what we see is that the app is asking, all right, so do you trust Nick app? Do you want to let it edit or delete documents? That's because, or list items? That's because I asked for write access, and it's going to ask me what list do I want, right? So in the previous example, I said I'm going to have a fruits list on my OS web. Well, for example, I can just go in and select fruit from here. However, one thing you may want to do is sometimes you always got to put yourself in the people that are going to be installing, in the shoes of the people that are going to be installing your app. They might not know what your app's supposed to do. So for example, let's say your app is supposed to go and access document library. Well, you don't want them to trust it against a custom list, because that's not going to work, right? So one thing you could do is you can go in here and specify properties. So we'll go so base template ID. And we can specify values in here, and 101, so it looks like I know all my IDs by heart, but I've done this demo before, believe it or not. But 101 is basically the document library ID. So by setting this here, once I go and deploy my app, I can restrict the list of choices I'm going to get only to document libraries. It should come up in a minute. So now I'm still going to get the same drop-down list, but instead of showing all the lists, it's going to reduce it and only filter by document libraries, which is making the life of the person installing the app much simpler. So there you go. So the last thing I want to show you is what's going to happen now if we apply an app-only call to this. And what I mentioned earlier, so I'm just going to save this here. So you have two options. So now we're looking at the designer right now. If you're more comfortable doing it with the XML, you can always just view the code, and you'll see that this is what we've seen previously. So it's asking for app-only permissions, and it's set to true. So if I deploy that now.
And by the way, it's worth noting on the URL there that HTTP colon whack whack SharePoint whack content whack site collections, that's just an arbitrary string that's being used to say, hey, we want to be able to access the full web there. So your URL doesn't need to be SharePoint whack content.
Totally, right? Yeah. It's basically just a schema to indicate what you want access to. So this is just the product, the content, and then basically from this here, I know that I want to access the list. And going back to the top-down approach, right? So let's say I want to get more access. I just need to basically remove one level at a time, and then my app will get access to an entire site collection. So back at it now. So what it's going to do is It's going to prompt me when I want, when I'm about to trust the app. It will say, do you want to let it share its permissions with others? Right. So in the case, for example, going back to my fruits list, somehow I'm hungry. So that's the example I'm going to use there. So if you let your app write, or your app is granted access to write back to your list, and it uses app-only permissions, if a user comes in and let's say your app now is modified so that you have two text boxes that let you enter the name of a fruit, a unit price, and save it back in your list, if a user goes in and accesses your app, creates an entry, when you'll go in the list and you'll look at the properties of the item that was created, it will say created by SharePoint administrator on behalf of the other user there, right? So that means that your app was using app-only permissions and that it's been creating the object on behalf of the user who probably had lesser permissions.
So you can still see the user that was doing
it. You can still see it, which is good,
okay.
Right, for audit purposes. Yeah. So in a nutshell, that's pretty much it. In the next module, what we're going to do is we're going to dive into how to use OAuth to authenticate the calls from your provider hosted app back into your SharePoint Online tenant.
All right, that sounds perfect. Then what do you say we go ahead and take 10 and we'll see you guys then?
Perfect.